We have news from the Vatican. Yesterday, Pope Francis, he taught that in Christ, no one can ever truly separate us from those we love, because the bond is an existential bond, a strong bond that is in our very nature. Even those who have denied the faith and who are apostates, all one in the communion of saints. Doesn't make any difference. Heretics, deniers of the faith, apostates, they're all in the communion of saints.
Of course. I mean, he's an apostate. He's got to deal with that.
Of course, this is contrary to Catholic teaching. It's very sad. We have a wolf in a shepherd's clothing. There's no doubt about that. Let's not be discouraged, however. I'm not going to cover all the news. In fact, we're very well protected here and sheltered to some extent. We mustn't let the day-to-day drudgery of our duties or the fears of wars, rumors of wars and scandals dampen our faith or our determination to be what we're supposed to be, saints. We are already in the communion of saints. We're called to holiness. I always over-prepare for the Sunday sermons and have to try and condense what I prepare into a 15-20 minute. But this Sunday really relates to the brothers. The Colossians chapter 3, brethren, you are the elect of God. Put ye on as the elect of God, holy and beloved. St. Paul's talking to all the baptized in Colossia, who were, of course, all traditional Catholics. Put on the bowels of mercy, the bowels, the viscera, the interior, from the heart. Mercy, benignity, humility, modesty, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If you have a complaint, even as the Lord has forgiven you, but above all these things have charity, which is the bond of perfection. You are called in one body, so be thankful. Even admonishing and teaching one another. Singing and grace in your hearts. This is a beautiful epistle. This is the life of the religious. This is what makes every religious family in the communion of saints truly enviable. You know what it's like in your own extended families or out there in the world. So much craziness, so many false ideas and immorality, which is rampant. And we are protected from a lot of that. So we thank God for your calling. Never forget the church is holy in her founder and her doctrine. Unlike the founders of heretic sects, the church has never departed from the official, the teachings and commandments of God, nor cease to urge the necessity for good works and counsel the highest perfection. So there's the commands of our Lord for all, and then there are the counsels for those chosen. And he's promised, especially for those who are chosen to the religious life, who have answered that response, especially with the sacred vows, you are to receive a hundredfold. It's in Matthew 19. In St. Mark's version of that, he says a hundredfold here in this life, but along with persecutions and dramas. So the church in the past has suffered violent persecution, even the loss of entire nations rather than change her teachings. Pope Clement VII excommunicated Henry VIII rather than annul his marriage, because he didn't have the power to do that, knowing that England would be torn away from the faith. And if England and its empire had remained Catholic, imagine America, Canada, Australia, India. Wow, the Magna Carta would still shine forth in these countries. So the church is holy in her founder and her doctrine, and in our society, our founder was holy in his teachings and his life. He was like a St. John apostle. He was a saintly man, as you know, you read his life. His teachings are shining lights in the darkness around us these days. So we have to thank God for our founder, try and keep his spirit. So the church also has all the means of holiness, all the sacraments, the true sacrifice of the new law. These are the main channels of grace and sanctification, and the complete and proper use of the sacramentals, feasts, observances, devotions by which the mind is elevated to heavenly things. Holiness is made more readily available. So we have all we take, all we need to be holy. I tell the retreatants, if you take your meds every day, you'll be fine. That's meditation, examination of conscience, devotion, and scripture and spiritual reading, your daily meds. This is it. Take your meds. Those who go off their meds go insane. And so the treasury of the whole church now is within the society and scattered traditionalist groups. We have to be very thankful. Archbishop Lefebvre preserved for us the immense treasures of the Catholic Church. And more are discovering it, which is welcome. And hence, that explains why the enemies of Catholic faith and tradition, even those in the Vatican, are so fiercely determined to destroy it, crush it. Because so many young families, young people, especially since COVID, largely since Benedict XVI, actually went to a great extent along with what Bishop Follet had insisted. Remember the three conditions he insisted? We don't want to be approved just for ourselves. It's got to be for the whole church. All priests should be unrestricted from the Tridentine Mass, and then lifting the unjust excommunications, and then theological discussions about the novelties in Vatican II. Pope Benedict agreed, boom, 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 and then tradition started taking off outside of the society. And with COVID and people discovering the society, and people like Marshall Taylor interviewing Father Paul Robinson, explaining in simple terms the canonical status. And we've got parishioners in New Jersey coming now because of that one interview. And Taylor Marshall apologized for everything he said against the society when he couldn't get to Easter Mass in 2020, except our society. So it's a wonderful thing. We have to thank God for it and expect the repercussions and the lashing out of the enemies. Satan is very distressed at the growth of tradition. So the church and the society is holy in its founder and its doctrines. The church and our society has all the means of holiness. The church and even our society is also holy in its members. Now, okay, there was Judas among the 12. Judas was not all bad, or he could never have gotten into the situation of being ordained Catholic bishop, let alone working miracles along with the other apostles, distributing the miraculous bread. Judas was not all bad, but he drifted into unbelief and mixed with bad company, treachery ultimately, the ultimate treachery. So 1 in 12 among the apostles. But in the Catholic Church, in every age, in every country, from every condition of life, persons with extraordinary sanctity have been witnessed by God himself through the gift of miracles, raised to the altar, but also countless other vast multitudes of holy souls not possessing the gift of miracles have a sanctity far exceeding anything outside of the Church. And holy priests and members of religious orders, men and women, self-sacrificing missionaries to harsh foreign lands, weekly and daily communicants, all of that manifests the holiness of the Church, and all of that is within the society. We have some truly saintly souls who come to us. Sometimes I hear confessions of the people and I wish I could confess like that. Unbelievable. People who are truly holy, even though, like the Gospel this Sunday will tell you, there is cockle sown among the wheat. human nature retains its propensities to evil. If we don't stay on our daily meds, what's going to happen? The weight of our tendency to evil, the concupiscence, is going to drag us down. That's for sure. So we're all free at all times to use or abuse the gifts of grace. So we are called to be saints. And I'm still convinced, with all her faults, the Society of St. Pius X has what it takes to help the church recover from this devastating crisis. So yesterday was the Feast of Our Lady Purification, and it's the primary Feast of Our Lady of a Good Success, Quito, Ecuador. So I spoke a bit about that on Sunday and put something about it in the bulletin. I reprinted the bulletin with a quote on the back page, which I plan to read to the people on Sunday. A copy for each of you. Very brief summary of the history of it. You may know Archbishop Lefebvre spoke about this apparition of 400 years ago at the famous consecration sermon of the four bishops. I was there in 1988. I could see the astonishment on the face of the Archbishop, and he heard the emotion of his voice as he summarized and went through this amazing series of prophecies. There were seven main apparitions over 40 years, 1594 to 1634. Very, very beautiful stuff. I'm sure you've all read about it, but especially for our day. And a lot of the revelations were meant to console and strengthen that community in Quito, Ecuador, because they're very devoted to Our Lady's Immaculate Conception. And she promised that there would always be one member of the community who will be a saint, who is guaranteed to be a saint. That's amazing. And when I was there, I said Mass on in the convent over the altar where Mother Mariana is incorrupt with three other foundresses. But apparently there were 11 others incorrupt discovered, and they keep founding members of this order completely miraculously preserved. And as Our Lady told Mother Venerable Mariana, this would not be known about outside of Ecuador until the late 20th century, when the message needs to be known. And she would be unheard of until then. So it was 1988 that Archbishop Lefebvre, speaking of this, made it very clear to the whole world, because all the cameras of the world were on him at that sermon when he was creating the first schism in 100 years, the media said, when he was fully and formally excommunicated for defying the Pope. As you know, that's the way it was presented. And he pointed to the cameraman locked up in a cage and said, "You are going to report lies tomorrow about me being excommunicated." He was good. He was like a lion. Well, the part of the message which is on the back page here in the bulletin speaks about the unfolding of evil. Extinguishing the light of faith through the Masonic sects will be heresies, loss of vocations, turmoil in the convents, terrible turmoil throughout the religious communities. You know what happened to the nuns in particular. So many devoted nuns became radical feminists. The spirit of impurity, which will be rampant in the world and which will destroy vocations. Priests being careless and discharging their duties, being attached to wealth and riches. And the indifference of those with great wealth in helping the church through this trial. And the one who should be speaking out will not say a word. The one, who's that?
Pope.
The Pope, probably, yeah. Not say a word, just add to the confusion. So as these prophecies unfold, the days grow darker and darker, starting in the mid-20th century until now. It's now 70 years. The number of the faithful will become smaller and smaller. Their faith will be sorely tested. However, the Mother of God promises that when all seems to be lost and paralyzed, she will intervene in a marvelous manner. Now, this may connect with the Fatima message of the Pope having to flee Rome over the dead bodies of the cardinals and priests, and he may find a few bishops to perform the consecration of Russia and miraculous intervention. Russia may have overtaken Europe by that time, and then complete conversion. And yeah, that would be interesting. That would be something to see. And we might see it. It might even be Pope Francis. Yes?
Is the Pope going to Russia?
Oh, he said he would. He said he's going in March.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. Because as you know, Vladimir Putin expressed a great interest in the Fatima secret and Russia's consecration. So that's next month. We'll see what happens. So Archbishop Lefebvre stressed one aspect of this revelation, which was really shocking to him, about the a prelate who would rise up. How the church, Our Lady said to this most venerable Mariana, how this church will suffer on that occasion of the dark night from the lack of a prelate and a father to watch over them with paternal love, gentleness, strength, discernment, and prudence. So really, we haven't had such a spiritual father for a long time. Prelate means anyone above a priest. Monsignor Burns is a prelate. Bishop, cardinal, archbishop, even the Pope is a prelate. Many priests will lose their spirit, placing their souls in great danger. So the church will suffer from the lack of a father figure. But we have one. We have Archbishop Lefebvre. And we have some seriously good men running our society. Don't agree with everything they say, especially that vexed question. Don't have to agree with everything they say there. But they're not trying to push the vax on us. The bishop in Stowe in Lexington has just banned all berettas, maniples, and only one priest of the Fraternity of St. Peter is allowed to say one mass on a Sunday. No more Latin masses.
Where is this?
Well, Lexington, wherever it is, at Kentucky.
Kentucky.
Bishop Stowe. So there's more and more suppression of tradition. And some bishops are saying the priests have to resign if they don't get the deadly jab. Priests have to resign, have to take it. So we don't have shepherds like that, thank God. Our Lady goes on, pray insistently without tiring and weep with bitter tears in the secrecy of your heart, imploring our Heavenly Father that for the love of the Eucharistic heart of our Lord and his precious blood shed with such generosity, and by the profound bitterness and sufferings of his cruel passion and death, that God might take pity on his ministers and quickly bring an end to these ominous times by sending to the church the prelate who will restore the spirit of its priests. Archbishop Lefebvre read this and he said, I'm not saying that's me. I'm just saying these are heavenly messages fully approved by the church for our times. And God is asking us to beg that we will have a good godly father figure, a prelate. And I think the description Our Lady gives fits Archbishop Lefebvre. Because she goes on, speaking of this prelate to come, my most holy son and I will love this favored son with a love of predilection, special love. We'll give him a rare capacity, humility of heart, docility to divine inspirations, strength to defend the rights of the church, a tender and compassionate heart, so that like another Christ, he will assist the great and the small, without despising the more unfortunate souls who ask him for light and counsel in their doubts and hardships. Don't forget, Archbishop Lefebvre helped re-establish traditional Franciscans, Carmelites, Benedictines, Dominicans. And Our Lady goes on, with divine suavity, sweetness, he will guide the souls consecrated to the service of God in the cloisters, making light the yoke of the Lord. who said, "My yoke is sweet and my burden light." Into his hands the scales of the sanctuary will be placed, so that everything is weighed with due measure and God will be glorified. The sanctuary, that's our special vocation. Everything concerned with the Mass and the glory of God in the glory and the traditional ritual. And nothing is small in that. It's all of the rituals of the tradition are like layers of an onion. You can't just peel them away and expect to find a seed. It's all onion, every layer. The vestments, the incense, the chant. It's all layers of the onion. And of course it is, as our Lord planted a little seed, spread into a worldwide tree. You don't expect the tree to look like the seed or the sapling. One final comment here, which is pretty scary. Our Lady added that the tepidity of all the souls consecrated to God in the priestly and religious state will delay the coming of this prelate and father. So we mustn't be tepid, because that's what's delaying. Now, was it Archbishop Lefebvre she's referring to? Some argue no, because this prelate apparently is going to reestablish the jurisdiction of the Franciscans instead of the diocesan bishop in Quito, Ecuador. That's one theory. But there's no doubt, if it's a future prelate we're looking forward to, it's someone who will be in the spirit of Archbishop Lefebvre. No doubt. And the spirit of St. Pius X. No doubt. Michael Davies, before he died, said that it is thanks to Archbishop Lefebvre more than any other individual that the Mass is now being celebrated throughout the world. One might hope that those who now assist at the Tridentine Mass on Sundays outside of the Society would appreciate that they owe this inestimable privilege to Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre. In my opinion, the Archbishop is a saint and will emerge with more credit than any other prelate when the history of these troubled times is written. You may remember Davies died in 2004, just before Cardinal Ratzinger became Pope Benedict. He's written 7 major volumes, which I hope you've all read, which Archbishop Lefebvre urged people to read. You hear that on the retreat tapes. Read Archbishop Lefebvre, an English Protestant, became a Catholic school teacher of high school girls, so he knows how to make complex canon law and theology simplified. That too was his special great gift. Documented evidence, but his commentary makes it simple to understand. So Lefebvre recommended Michael Davies' writings, and Pope Benedict, just before he became Pope, recommended his writings. Astonishingly, Cardinal Ratzinger said specifically his liturgical writings, which, as you know, demolish the whole Novus Ordo shebang. So Ratzinger recommended that. Now, what's come out earlier last month is that Cardinal Ratzinger, acknowledged that the Church will one day recognize Archbishop Lefebvre as one of the greatest figures in the 20th century. Archbishop Lefebvre will be recognized one of the greatest bishops of the 20th century. And even in his post-African missionary days, in other words, in his days of defending tradition. And Ratzinger went on to say, Lefebvre was right, it seems, that the society needed its own bishops to protect them from the diocesan bishops.
When did he say this?
It's on LifeSite News. I printed it out, but I've lost it. He said this... when was it? He spoke of it to 2 other cardinals, and one of them reported it to LifeSite News. Probably just before he became Pope. He's realizing the impact the Archbishop had. So what's really interesting, Pope Benedict realized that importance of Archbishop and try to do what he could. But he had to compromise because he knows he's the enemies are after him. So he made that really fake distinction between the one Roman rite with two forms, extraordinary form and ordinary form. That was a ruse. And he knew that because he wrote an introduction to Klaus Gamber's book on the liturgy, which I recommend if you haven't read it. The Reform of the Roman Liturgy, Monsignor Klaus Gamber. Anyone heard of it?
I've heard of it.
Ratzinger wrote the introduction to that, and Gamber said that the Roman rite is the Tridentine rite, and the new rite has to be called a ritus modernus. It's a completely different rite. Ratzinger agreed with that. And Gamber said that for the very sake of the survival of the Catholic Church, the Roman rite has to be reinstalled in every parish church. That was Gamber, supported by Ratzinger. And Pope Francis, of course, says, no, there's only one Roman rite. It's Novus Ordo. And he's making cardinals and bishops now force their priests to sign a document that you accept there is only one rite, and it's the Novus Ordo. Priests who want to say the traditional Mass are going to have to catechize their people to accept the Novus Ordo. This is what's happening. There'll be another decree coming out next month along these lines, further restricting the traditional priests. Of course, it doesn't affect us, except some are going to want to join us. Bishop Schneider said recently that it's fine for a young man to join the seminaries of the Society of St. Pius X. That's good. And Archbishop Wegener, I mean, he and others have been learning from the writings of Archbishop Lefebvre and his life and example, and they're promoting it everywhere, even through his open letter to President Trump, which Trump retweeted and told everyone, you should read this letter from Wegener. Now, Wegener wrote this, quote, in May of 2020. May Archbishop Lefebvre's brave stand in the defense of tradition inspire all other courageous prelates to follow his saintly example and join in the fight to bring the universal church back into full communion with tradition, capital T, thereby putting an end to these prophesied ominous times. I believe, he says, the essential point for effectively conducting a spiritual, doctrinal, and moral battle against the enemies of the church is the persuasion that the present crisis is the metastasis of the conciliar cancer. So metastasis means spread and violence throughout the body, but the cancer grows invisibly and small. At the council, it became visible. Now it's metastasized and affecting the whole church. This is the comparison Archbishop Lefebvre used. Back to Wegener. If we have not understood the causal relationship between Vatican II and its logical and necessary consequences over the course of the last 60 years, it will not be possible to steer the rudder of the church back to the direction given it by her divine helmsman, the course that it has maintained for 2,000 years. So there is Wegener again supporting the work of Archbishop Lefebvre, which we are privileged to be part of. And again, you've got here a foretaste of the Sunday sermon. The key point is be holy. We have all the means. We have all the motives. We have all the helps that we need. And if we're not holy, we better get back on that track or we're in big trouble. Because if you remember Luke chapter 12, verse 48, one of the scariest verses in the good book, Luke 12. Oh my gosh. Luke 12:48. This has pages blanked out, including chapter 12 of Luke. Nope, here it is. The master of the servant will come on the day he does not expect, and the hour he does not know will cut him asunder and make him share the lot of the unfaithful, the wicked servant. But the servant who knew his master's will and did not make ready for him, did not act according to his will be beaten with many stripes. That is, those who knew God's will and didn't do it. Whereas he who did not know it, but did things deserving of stripes, will be beaten with few. So yes, even lack of full knowledge is not enough to avoid punishment, but those who had fuller knowledge have a fuller responsibility. So of everyone to whom much has been given, much will be required, and to him whom they have entrusted much, they will demand the more. This comes right before that line, I have come to cast a fire upon the earth, and what will I but that it be kindled? Wow. So that was St. Ignatius' motto. Go, light a fire. Light the fire of God's love in your heart and renew the face of the church. This is my encouraging words to you. Revisit, take one of these bulletins. There's a little summary of the seven apparitions and then that quote about the great prelate and a father who is our special gift to our society, Archbishop Lefebvre. May he intercede for us, help us to persevere.